Tilts. All right, here we go. Give me a count around, Joel.
Bing. 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Yeah, I gotta put on my good sweatpants.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that a link at bat. For the show link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is linuxthing.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1022 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe. We have Joe. Me? Yeah, there we go.
All right, I'm here.
And making his debut, it's Tilts.
Not debut, please.
Oh, man, back from
the dead. It's actually Dave Yates, y'all.
To join us is Dave Yates. Bravo, sir. It's been a long time, and we're ecstatic to have you.
Glad to be here.
It's very interesting that you are on this week because apparently this week also marked the week that our buddy Wallenberg was just going to throw away the Linux in the basement domain. Get rid of it. Yeah. He wasn't going to renew it. But I believe Door has taken it over. So maybe we'll see something come of it or whatever. But we got the
Door in the basement.
Master. And before we get to you completely, Joe, because I need to have my say, Joel and Dave. I wanted to actually do work today, and I had my almost entire day taken up by this problem. And I want to ask you, Joel, because you might know or have something you could weigh in on this. But one of my good colleagues at work finally got a replacement laptop, and they sent him an M1 Power Mac.
Okie dokie.
And it's running Monterey. And
Monterey?
Yeah. Well, you know how businesses are, right? When you get the IT department.
I got to run Sonoma.
You got the IT department. They're a little behind on a completely approving, I guess, the upgrade to whatever. Anyway, I don't. It's not really the point, I guess. What is the point is that he had to go, of course, set everything back up. And when it came time to set up the local environment for our story editor application, which uses WordPress VIP, he hit me up about this because generally the way that our workflow has been going for this currently is that it uses varying vagrants, which is VVV, that requires you to have VirtualBox and Vagrant, obviously, that's in the name, and a few other things like Vault that we have stuff stored in. And so now, I guess only up until recently, VirtualBox was released for the M1 Max. There is a preview version of it. So that wasn't going to work, and because it's on ARM architecture, so
yes,
and this is what they're 2 years old now, if I'm not mistaken, like the M1 Max.
More than that, yeah.
So they still.
And he's two versions of the OS behind because you have Monterey, Ventura, and now Sonoma is out too.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure about compatibility on that version of Mac OS. I'm surprised that they. I mean, do they use Jamf to manage the software on there?
You know what that?
Because that's what we use.
That does sound familiar, but I don't know because I don't pay enough attention. I know Jamf was somewhere in there, and I don't know if it still is.
Right.
But anyway,
I've been on Mac OS since about a year now, almost a year. Actually probably a little bit less than that, because I'm trying to remember when I got the laptop. So, but I knew I was eligible to order it in October last year. So, when I first got it, Ventura was out, but Jamf stopped me from getting it, you know, because Jamf puts a policy on there, and if a company says you're cool, it'll let you download it. If the company says no, it won't. So I was on Monterey for a very short time period, maybe about a month, and then Ventura was released to us. So I was probably 2 months out of that. But on day one, when Sonoma shipped, I was able to upgrade to it. So why they're that far back, who knows?
Yeah, well, but as far as I know,
Sonoma has been great.
Okay, I agree with you, but here's the problem.
The upgrade was good too, right?
Here's the problem. Here's the problem that we ran into is that because VirtualBox is in a beta, the VVV wouldn't let you use VirtualBox. It wanted Docker or Parallels. And the problem that we have with Docker Desktop, both of those, is you have to buy a license to use them, right?
Right.
So there is an alternative, Rancher.
Because if I was actually building Docker images, we would be using Docker because we got the site license. So
okay, this was going to be my question for you, because. Because the tool said Docker Desktop, my initial response to him was use Docker Desktop because I ran into problems before when I used Rancher for these kind of situations that it was a nightmare. There's like 95% compatibility, but that other 5% that these kind of tools like to do something and it's not going to work, but... So we tried Docker Desktop at first.
And you're building for x86 too, though, right?
Right. Well, it is that. That's the thing. I guess so. Yes, it's Ubuntu. I don't. What images it pulls, and I understand that's ARM architecture, and that's one of the reasons why VirtualBox is so far behind on it at this stage, and it's only in like this beta because it's trying to figure out how you're going to be able to do x86 architecture on ARM in the virtualization. But anyway, what ended up happening was he pulled down the latest Docker Desktop, and it just got stuck. Like when he tried to start it up, it just would hang right at when it was starting, and then it would just present the message that Docker Desktop is stopped, and it wouldn't go beyond that. And what no matter what we tried to do, it just wouldn't work, right? And we tried a bunch of different things. So I was like, all right, let's try Rancher Desktop. And of course, Rancher Desktop installed and ran perfectly fine, but when it came time to run the setup and create everything, it ran into a files permissions problem, which I think is the exact same problem I had when I was trying to do the VIP tool that sets up. It's called the VIP Dev ENV, which will set up your a local instance of WordPress VIP with your repo installed inside of it and ready to go. I ran into a similar problem with that, and it looked like this exact same thing was happening. So that wasn't working, Rancher Desktop. VirtualBox was not going to work. And one of the things that I saw that I had read a few times was there were people who were identifying this issue and said that they had to go back to an earlier build of Docker Desktop. So what was out there now, I think, is 4.24 something. And they were saying they had to go back to 4.72. And the earliest that we could go back to 4.7 series was actually 4.8 something, because we couldn't find the binaries for 4.7, any of those series. So we tried the 4.8, and that worked. And then he was able to get it installed. So are you running Docker Desktop or no?
No, the new team I went on, build to anything, so we're just basically supporting what's already there.
Okay, so you're not running Docker Desktop, you know, on your
M1. No, I can, but I just never done it. You know, even though my old team, we're very early in that. Like, now some of our new products, like our newer versions of our self-service product, our UI product, they're going to be running on top of Linux very soon now, for SAS. In fact, I'm trying to think if a release is actually out yet. Our SAS customers are going to get first, followed by our managed cloud customers. The problem with managed cloud is, since customizations are involved, they have to figure out, well, how do they get users into that. You know, it's going to be a complete change of workflow, because they do want to launch the new version on Linux. Basically, it's .NET 6 on top of Linux.
Is that using Mono? Is Mono
probably
still a thing?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I know. Put it this way, I am not building that stuff. Eventually, I'll support it, but you know, but they're gonna try and do a lot of automation and give us some bots to use. Like right now, here's a good example. For the SaaS team, if we get them, I don't get too many of them, because they kind of come in all over the place. But when they come into our queue, like a client might say, oh, we need to give site admin access to X person. All right. So we have basically a Slack bot that will do that. We just have to give the right arguments, and it'll assign that. And that's one of the things we do for the SaaS, not involving building of anything. All right, it's just using automations that are already there. Same thing goes for, like, we have what we call a CSST, which is basically can be used by both types of our clients to recycle application pools and stuff like that. Which all that stuff will still exist. It'll just be on Linux now, but
as it should
we're
be.
Not. My team's not building any of that. We're not the engineer. Yeah, we're not the engineering team. So that's for my old team. Eventually, you know, they're not there yet. But it's coming for us. But yeah,
it's unfortunate that Docker Desktop went to a proprietary model. Now, it is free for personal use, but it starts at, for a professional license, single license, $5 a month for a yearly payment. So it's like $60 a year. If you pay by the year, it's $5. Then there's a group license, which is $7 per person, and I don't know how many it goes up to. Then there's the team license, which is like, I think $12 per person, or one of them goes up to $24.
You talk about licensing like that, right? That's crazy. But one of the things about licensing that I wish our company would have loved, thing is what?
Oh, the thing that I don't like is that for our use, what we want to use it for, we just want, you know, we don't want any of the features that are offered by the professional licenses.
Right.
Like, we're not going to use them, but we have to pay, right? To use just the basic personal edition. Like, we don't want any of that other stuff.
Right.
But we can't use it, which is why we're trying to get away with using Rancher Desktop, which is great. Right. Don't get me wrong. It does a great job. But it's just that the companies that are building tools around Docker that automate a lot of this stuff, there's just something that's not supported in like Rancher or some of the other stuff that it just it fails. And I'm pretty sure it has to do with permissions, something to do with permissions. And I don't know what it is that Docker Desktop is doing that these other companies or other tools can't do that causes this problem. And it's very frustrating. But on top of that, which also rolls into this is the VIP Dev EMV tool. I've been talking with the developers of that because it's VIP, and I said we would really love to use this, but the only thing that is preventing us from using your tool, which is super easy to use and I love it, is that it doesn't allow you to set a custom domain. And because of our Okta setup, Okta, when you go to authenticate through Okta, it sends up a redirect URL that when it comes back from Okta, redirects you back to the place that you were supposed to go to after authentication. And that is tied to a specific domain. And their tool doesn't allow you to put in a custom domain. It's a hard-coded domain, which their tool that they're piggybacking off of is called Lando. And so the domain is like vip.lando.something. I forget what it is. And I said to them, and I pointed out in their tool where they're hard-coding, I said, if we could just set the domain, because it's the host name part of it, which they call the slug, is customizable, but the domain isn't. If we could do that, then we could switch over to using that tool. Because I tried a bunch of different ways to do it without hacking their sources, and I just got confirmation from them today that they identified how they could do it, and it was working for them locally. And so I'm hoping that they'll release that capability to Suite. That would be fantastic. The only downside is, again, we're back to that problem, is we have to use Docker Desktop because it just will not run under Rancher Desktop. Right. Which is like, if you're running Linux, you don't have to worry about any of this crap because you could just... all that tool, all that shit's built in.
Multi-platform,
you know,
yeah.
Right, Tilt? It's all built in.
That's right.
Wait, where's Tilt? Where did he go?
Right.
There he is.
Are you still using Linux there, Mr. Yates?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Debian stable on everything except my daily driver, and that's Arch Linux now for 2 years.
There you go.
Ooh, are you running pure Arch or are you running like Manjaro?
No, it's pure Arch.
Look at you, man.
Oh, it's pure Arch.
Now, let me ask your opinion, Dave. All right. Debian or Arch? Which one, baby? If you had to pick. Choose wisely.
For daily use, Arch. But for servers, Debian.
Debian is nice, though, isn't it? It just runs.
Yeah. Yep.
I use, at work.
Yep.
At work, we use a combination of... all our stuff is either Alpine or Debian.
I got a question. Are y'all running Wayland yet? Because I'm not. I'm going to be kicking and screaming to that.
Yes, yeah. And no. It just depends. I've run into several things. Well, funny you're talking about that because I was watching the guy, Christopher Bernat from explainingcomputers.com. He was talking about the Raspberry Pi 5. And apparently that's the default X for the Raspberry Pi 5 for Raspberry Pi OS. So he was one of the videos he did this week was talking about running Kdenlive on the Raspberry Pi 5, and he would run it, and it would run, but you couldn't see the video, or for some reason. So, and he had a command in his review that he had to run. Basically, he wrote a script that would set this command and then run Kated live, and then it worked fine. So, other than that, like things that I've noticed, and actually something I try with Bumble, not tonight, but some other day, is because I can switch between the two on Ubuntu somewhere pre-release to 24 or 2310. All right, so I can switch back and forth, and I might try that command on Ubuntu and see if it makes a Mumble work. Because Mumble would work, but things like my hotkeys wouldn't work for some reason. On Wayland, on regular Xorg, it worked just fine. So there is definitely bumps to running Wayland, but I'm not running it primarily right now. So, but now, you know, now, it's we'll see. It's working.
What I would say, Dave, my experience, because I've run them both. And I do believe I'm running Wayland on a few things here. I've not had a problem unless I want to do something like screen sharing or what was that tool? Synergy? Was that it?
Where Synergy. You use a,
yeah, Synergy. Was right, where right. You use a desktop.
Barrier.
Yeah, use a keyboard and mouse and display for multiple systems. That will not run under Wayland. And like that kind of stuff where you want, if you do any like session forwarding, I don't think works like it does under X.
I think the only session forwarding I do is using XPRA. It's good, but I know it won't work with Wayland.
You can do some X11 forwarding from what I understand, but it takes a lot of extra configuration for it to be able to work from Wayland to another machine. So it's extremely annoying to try and set up, and it's just easier to use X.
Yeah, I'm going to use X until I'm forced not to.
Yeah, until I get some kind of, you know, proper screen sharing set up in Wayland, then I don't really want to use it.
Yeah.
I've never used XPRA. How easy is it?
It's really easy. I mean, I couldn't tell you the exact commands off the top of my head, but it uses can forward via SSH. It's like the X environment is sort of encapsulated, I guess. It's
I use X2Go for spinning off a new desktop from on a remote system, but otherwise I just, you know, break down to the command line and use X11 forwarding.
Yeah, I think what I like about X2Go is the only reason I even use it is I've got an ICECast server and I'm streaming some mod files, and that's run on a computer in another room, but I think I'm using it's not Rhythmbox. It's a graphical player that will play the mod files, but it's running on another computer. But it saves the session, sort of like TMUX or does. You know, you can fire it up and then close the session and then open it up again, and it's going to be exactly where it was, just like it's running on an X server virtually.
Called again?
XPRA. EXPRA. That's the main advantage to it, is it saves the session.
Hmm. Do you need
that's
to have
cool,
XPRA
actually,
installed on both systems?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that might be my problem right there. Is that the only thing you need to install?
Yep. I mean, the dependencies get pulled in, of course.
Well, let's see. Hey, you better not be lying to me, Dave. You know how these things go. We're going to find out by the end of this episode whether you're lying or not.
Now, that's a... Yeah, that's something, yeah, with Wieland. I'm a little more concerned about it when I get my Pi 5. By the way, they went up for pre-order last week. We should have talked about it last week, but we didn't. My bad. I pre-ordered the 8 gigabyte RAM version, and I'm probably going to go ahead and order the couple things they brought out for it. Is they brought out a Pi Foundation developed cooler for it. It's $5, all right, and a case for the Pi 5, which has a fan in it, which, until other cases come out, that's probably your best option, mostly because it might fit or it might not fit in a Pi 4 case, and that's because they moved the side of the board that the Ethernet is on. Other things that you can get for it is there's a real-time clock chip built in on it. The only thing you have to plug into it is a battery, so then when you power it off, it will keep the time. And there's an actual power button on the board itself right now too, so it's no, you, I mean, you always had the ability to add it with the GPIO pins, but now you don't have to. So
yeah,
and you can also get a hat for it that lets you to add a M.2 drive to it as well. So it's a significant upgrade to the Raspberry Pi. I don't know if it brings it on par to some of the other boards that are out now, but
Marks are
definitely
showing 5X, and from what I've seen of people using it, I mean, there's a couple of people on YouTube with reviews out already. They're saying that it can work well as, or almost as, a desktop replacement, but
yes.
A couple of things here when it comes specifically to the Raspberry Pi 5, and I can see some people's complaints on it, is, you know, they're kind of moving away from their mission statement here.
True.
The whole point was to have a $35 computer that anybody could get and kids could hack on and do interesting things with, not, you know, build a competitor for a single board computer that can run as a desktop.
Right.
And yeah, am I happy that there's a more powerful one? Yeah, but still, you're looking in the $80 range instead of the $35 range. And
right.
Yeah, that's still,
well,
no,
if you get
cost?
The 8 gig version, you can get the 60 gig for $60, you can get the 4 gig version. So, and they might be bringing out small ones with even less RAM than that, because there's actually a screen on the board for that, for like versions with 1 and 2 gig of RAM. So there's that.
Yeah. To show what it is. The jumper doesn't actually do anything, I don't think.
Correct. It has to have the chips. This also is the happens to be the very first Raspberry Pi that has some of their own silicon. Not the CPU, unfortunately. They basically build a, well, probably, if you compare it to a chip on a modern Intel platform, a Southbridge chip, in the RP1 chip, which that adds some significant things to it. Think of new stuff with USB.
Well, they separated out their USB instead of, you know, everything.
Correct.
Being on the one USB line hub bus, excuse me, they've separated it out. So I think the 3.0 and the 2.0 are on their own separate ones, and then the Ethernet's on its own, and then the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth are on another one. So
I didn't see what Wi-Fi network it supports. Hold on. I want to say 6E, but I might be wrong. Let's see. So it says dual band 802.11ac.
a lot of these people that are testing are saying you really do need the cooling in order to be able to use it to its potential.
I know Christopher Burnett from explainingcomputers.com, he did some tests and he was able to basically it ran pretty good with, you know, even without the heatsink, you know, or with the fan, I should say, without active cooling. He just yanked the fan plug on it and it still ran pretty decently, better with the fan, obviously.
Big old and aluminum block.
And that too. Yeah. He did it with that where it had a huge heatsink on it, and that definitely, it actually ran as cool as with that Raspberry Pi 5 fan. So, my options for putting it in cases of stuff I already have is I have the that Vilros case with the 7-inch that fits the Raspberry Pi Foundation 7-inch LCD in it. I have that one for my Pi 4. And it has a fan built into it.
With the port placement being slightly different, I don't know how well that's going to work.
And that's exactly what I was saying, yeah. Because the Ethernet's on the opposite side of the board. So, and then USB 3 ports are in the middle, and the USB 2 ports are on the right-hand side of the board.
You know.
You can also do up to two displays right on the board.
Yeah. They have two camera hookups on the board.
Or that.
Camera or display.
Right. It can be either or, I think. Yep. So we'll see when I get it. It's supposed to ship the week of October 23rd.
I hope they make a lot of them, and I hope a lot of people get them, and I hope they all sell. That forces down the price of the Raspberry Pi 4.
Yep.
I mean, it didn't work that way with the 3, but...
Right. The Pi 4 is still a great board. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, this one's faster. So
yeah.
It also requires a 27-watt USB power supply. So the one you have that works for your Pi 4 may not power this fast and good enough. I think it will run off of the lower wattage one, but it'll reduce the power.
Right.
So don't want that.
You basically need the high-end USB-C chargers.
Correct.
What's the price difference? I know the 4 is down to what, like $75 for just a board?
Well, the board itself for the 4 gig variant is $60. For the 8 gig variant is $80.
Okay.
So I'm paying about $90 with the shipping from SparkFun.
Thanks.
So, the hell with it. We're not making the 4 anymore. Which I don't know if that's what they said, but
did they say that?
No.
I didn't think so, but.
They didn't want to catch up with all the back orders on the 4, so they just brought out the 5. And they're like,
that's probably a good move. Yeah, I think it's a good move. The Ethernet is gigabit Ethernet with power over Ethernet support that requires a separate BOE hat that's not out yet or will not be out at launch time. And the rest of it's pretty much, you know what it is. It's got a 2.4 gigahertz quad-core 64-bit ARM Cortex-A76 CPU. It's a Broadcom chip again with core.
Did they bring back hardware acceleration for the video? Because that was a big loss.
Well, you got for the GPU, it's a video core V2 GPU supporting OpenGL ES 3.1 and Vulkan 1.2. It'll support up to two dual 4K at 60 frames per second on HDMI. It has 4K 60 frames per second HVAC decoder. So I am assuming it does have more video acceleration on it than the old 5.4 did. So Bluetooth 5 with Bluetooth Low Energy, dual band 802.11ac, Wi-Fi. two USB 3 ports, which support simultaneous 5 gigabit per second operation, two USB 2 ports. It has two four-lane, it says MIPI or MIPI camera slash display transceiver, so like you can plug in the camera. It by the way, you have to buy a different cable for the camera now. That's kind of important. Don't buy it and expecting to plug your existing camera in there. Yep. And the standard 40-pin GPIO header, which it's always had. PCI Express 2.0, one lane for fast peripherals. It has real-time clock and power button now. So it's like I said, it's a significant update to the Raspberry Pi 4. So looking forward to get that thing here. I'm not exactly sure what I'm using mine for yet. But it might just become like my Pi 4 is like the one I try random shit on every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the separate lanes is interesting. For the different peripherals.
What I want to know is it'll support one lane PCIe. Are they going to bring out a board that lets you plug in a card?
Well, if you look on YouTube, somebody actually set up an adapter for it. I think he had to do a custom adapter.
Right.
But he did set it up so that he could run a graphics card externally. And
neat.
I didn't watch the performance stuff on it, so I can't tell you how well it did, but it worked. Said he had to go through some configuration to get the drivers running, but yeah.
I'd imagine you'd have to. Probably had to compile the driver. Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, they did transition from, in the new version of Raspberry Pi OS that it supports, they transitioned from X11 to Wayfire Wayland Compositor on the Pi 4 and the Pi 5. So Raspberry Pi is going Wayland. So they're going to make you kicking and screaming there, Dave.
Yeah. I think I've got probably till 2025 for it. Actually, I have to do it.
Right. On the other stuff,
I know,
too.
Like, the Clem over at Mint does not want to do Wayland until he absolutely has to, so he's going to keep X limping along as possible.
Right. Well, I'm sure Slack's that way. Slack, good old Slackware. Heck, Slackware, can you run X386 on Slackware now still?
Hold on a Patrick second. I'm going to tell you that answer right now.
He's going to look.
Slackware system.
Hey, there's...
What's that, Mr. Yates?
I was, while you were looking, I was just like, there's no reason I couldn't switch to Wayland. I'm running KDE on all my Debian machines. And I'm running,
right.
running i3 on Arch, and I can just switch to Sway on Arch, but I just don't want to fool with it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, you know what?
I ran into bugs, but yeah.
Dave, I wanna just make it clear right now. I tried Expra. And although it was a little on the slow side, it worked, man.
Yeah.
I was very impressed that I tried an Xterm, and it worked.
Yeah.
And then I tried Firefox, and
that's
I could actually play a YouTube video.
Yeah.
With sound.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm using it for streaming media. I mean, you know, from this IceCast thing, but yeah, it works.
I'm using, well, for streaming media, I got a... MB on my Open Media Vault, and it works great.
Yeah.
It's got an app on Roku. It's got one on my iPad and on my phone.
I'm not using it for that kind of medium. Yeah, mine's a specific use case for audio. The Icecast thing. Yeah, just client files. But
now, if it's
right,
if it's any consolation to either of you two Yahoos, I'm about to log into my Slackware system, and the setting that I have on here currently is Plasma Fool Wayland. Is what it's logging into. So yes, Slackware is using Wayland.
All right.
Do you have a residual xf86.config file laying in there someplace?
What do you mean?
I just wonder how old the install is and if you still had one laying around.
right.
let me double check something. You can switch it to Xorg if you want to, instead of Wayland. So you have Plasma with Wayland, Plasma Failsafe, which is Xorg, I believe, XFCE, and Plasma X11. So you have both available to you. I just elected to go with Wayland by default on here. So yeah, you're going to have an XF config in there, but XF86 free config. Yeah. I don't think that's available anymore, is it?
As well, I was thinking.
is the tool in there to even do that?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't either.
God, yeah. Those were the days, huh, Mr. Yates? I remember doing that.
Yes, it was.
Trying to get NVIDIA to work with that was a pain.
Well, not to mention that, but you know, there was always that risk with X-Free that you could set the refresh rate incorrectly and fry your monitor. I never did, but
yeah, they always had that warning. I don't mm-hmm. know anybody who ever fried their monitor doing that.
Me either. Yeah. Oh shoot, I'm on the X-Free86.org website's still there. And there's a thing that says X-Free 86 turns 22.
Who's began using
in March of 1990. That's what I want to know.
Murph said he fried his monitor. Maybe he's still using it. Was it a C? I bet it was a CRT. I mean, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is that who's using it these days? What was that? Solaris?
Slolaris?
Yeah, Solaris. Wait, what is Solaris? What did Solaris become? Was it Open Solaris?
SunOS.
Oh yeah, yes. SunOS. And then, is SunOS still around?
I had a Sparkbox years ago that was SunOS.
Yeah, you did.
I thought somebody released it.
So, do you guys want the story of me blowing the monitor up?
Yeah, yes. We want to hear it.
Yes.
So this was. This was probably. You know, Red Hat 5 or Red Hat 6 days. And I had hooked up a Commodore, I believe it was 1950 monitor, one of the Commodore multiple sync monitors to a Linux box. And I was playing around with the mode lines when you had to edit the mode lines yourselves. You guys remember that, right?
Yep.
And apparently I did not do it correctly. And the monitor went pop and a big spark shot out of the top.
And you killed yourself.
Yeah, I was renting a room from somebody in a semi kind of legal basement apartment. So right. I was afraid of anything happening. So I yanked the cables out of the back and I opened the screen door to the and I threw the monitor out onto the deck from there. That was a good monitor that used to sync down to all the Amiga frequency. I was so ticked off that I blew the thing up playing around with Linux on that.
How much was that monitor?
I don't know. I was working in a used computer store. I would imagine I didn't pay full price for it.
Wait, you were working there. Did you buy it from there?
Oh, probably. I don't.
Or were you just working on it in there? And
no. This was at home, and this was a monitor I had gotten a hold of one way or the other. I don't remember how much I paid for it. How much did you pay for a monitor in 1996? I don't remember.
Too much money.
Yeah. I was afraid I was going to fry that ViewSonic CRT I had. same thing, Red Hat 4 or 5. Red Hat translation.
Here's the question, Murph. How much did that monitor weigh?
It was only a 14 or 15 inch, but it was not light.
Yeah. Oh.
No. I do not miss CRTs one iota.
So now I'm glad to finally have met somebody who blew a monitor messing around with the X-ray.
With X-ray 86.
Oh, yeah. And big old blue spark shot out of the top, too. It was amazing.
Do that.
Man, if it would have killed somebody, that would have been an incredible story, right, Murph?
That would have been bad. That would have been bad.
It burned down a whole neighborhood. And
okay, for wow. Sun, Solaris, there's Oracle Solaris, and that's all there is now. There used to be an open Solaris project. It is now defunct.
Oh, well.
OpenSolaris.org now redirects to the Java.net closure page. Because Java.net is gone.
I'll tell you what, to bring it around to the, back around to VirtualBox, though, that's one thing I hate about messing around with VirtualBox is you got all that, like, all that Oracle shit. Don't they own that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, sign up. Give us information. Sign up. Give us information.
Dan's like giving the middle finger.
Well, gotta do what you gotta do.
My use cases are different than yours, but I use Vert Manager.
But you're using that on Linux, right?
Yeah.
What's that use? Zen? Or what hypervisor?
It's QEMU in the back end.
Yeah. QEMU. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you could use that for Docker. You might be able to, but
yeah, you can. I think the problem, if I'm not mistaken, the problem with doing QEMU and all that on OS 10 is there's what makes desktop Docker desktop and Rancher desktop like appealing is you don't have to do any extra work, but to get like QEMU and libvirt and vert manager running on OS 10, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that you have to do. It's not as simple as just installing an application. If I'm correct, or that's the way it was.
The virtualization is happening at the kernel level.
Right.
Imagine it is a whole lot more difficult.
So, you know, doing it on Linux is a lot easier. What are you running that? Like, what are you virtualizing over there, Mr. Yates?
I've got Windows 10, I guess, for TurboTax once a year, and I have a Debian machine on there.
Why don't you just use the web version?
I've always heard that. I've never done it. I'm pretty sure I have it.
That's all we do. I mean, that's all we do.
That's a lot of work to get TurboTax running, but hey, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I'll do that next year.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that's a shame, though. All that virtualization, you can throw it all away.
My wife, you know, my wife is like my dad. My mom was to my dad. She's like my accountant. She's the one that keeps us from being broke. Because let me tell you, if I could buy every new piece of hardware that comes out that I want to buy, we would be broke.
So you're saying you have no self-control?
In some respects, yes. Yeah.
Too many gadgets, huh?
Yeah. That's like I'd run out. I am going to get a Pixel 8 Pro. But I'm not going to get it on launch day. I want to get it when I can finally pay off my existing phone. I'd love the Pixel Fold, but I don't want to pay that much for a phone and then months after I get it have that crease appear in the middle of that folding screen.
Is that what happens?
pretty much to any foldable. Yeah.
So you just got it replaced. Wait, who was just talking?
Sorry, Joe left me the headphones.
Wow.
Oh.
So I had a question. Is that the same thing that they, because they put the ads for it and stuff, and they were talking that the Z Fold 5 was having less of that crease issue after a year comparable.
Each generation is getting better. The Z Fold 5 is probably the best one at the moment. Better than the Pixel Fold, from what I've heard. But I just give me an iPad or a tablet in addition to my phone, and that's what I'll switch to the tablet when I need the bigger screen. Because the new Pixel 8's the 6.7-inch screen. That's fine. I mean, that's only like 0.3 inches smaller than my Nexus 7 was. Which I still have.
But if you're not going to buy it and suffer the consequences, we're not going to achieve the victory later on down the line where they finally improve it. You got to buy it every year it comes out, Joel. That's the way it works.
No, sir.
Replace it annually.
It's like I cannot get the people who, especially with the iPhone, because the iPhone has to be the world's most boring phone year after year. It's the form factor stays the same.
Didn't Google come out with a flip?
Not a flip, a fold. Don't have a flip yet.
Okay.
The flip would never interest me. Yes, sir.
Joel, Dan means you personally have to buy it every year, not just you generally. You personally need to buy it to keep them in business so they make another one.
Well, that ain't happening.
Yeah, tell your wife they're counting on. The rest of us are counting on you, Joel.
The rest
of
the world,
right? We all want a foldable
right?
screen, but until you say it's perfect.
Well, I wouldn't mind having one, but I definitely don't want to have to buy one every freaking year. Not at that price.
No.
How much are they?
No, consider
they're like $2,000.
Damn
well,
expensive.
The Samsung ones, the folds are like $2,000, and
yeah.
I mean, seriously, even with, you know, trading in, I still don't want to be paying that for forever. Plus, you know, their stats aren't as good as the S line.
I agree with that.
S23 Ultra, I'm sure the S24 Ultra when it comes out. And you're paying less for those for better stats. I mean, the only thing you're getting with the Fold is a larger screen.
Yep. The camera's usually not as good either. So that's why I'm going to stick with this traditional candy bar for that.
I wouldn't mind having one just for the smaller profile in my pocket. Right. Like either the Flip or the Fold. But
right.
Jackie, I know she was talking a little bit ago. I mean, I think she would do better with the Fold just because of how much she consumes from her phone. But it's still, if it's only going to last a year before the crease gets too bad to use, then I don't want it. I don't want to pay
for
it.
The Motorola Razr, the new Razr Flip, from what I understand, it's fairly affordable. But again, it's not flagship.
Right.
Just like most of the flips aren't flagship. They, you know, well, actually, if you buy a Pixel Fold right now, you're getting a G2 chip. You're not getting the G3, which came out in the Pixel 8, an 8 Pro. So it's like, no.
Was asking what we had said, so I told her what we were talking about in regards to her with large screens and them only lasting like a year, so she agrees. something happened. Am I? No, okay.
No, nothing. We're listening to you, man.
No, yeah, okay. We are. No. I was trying to
talk. A large purse to be able to carry a tablet everywhere.
Right, yeah.
They heard you.
Yep. Let's see,
problem of fucked up pockets.
I was going to say, I am fully behind women getting functional pockets in their pants because let me tell you how often I carry something for my wife in my pockets when we go someplace.
Right, yeah.
Because she's got that. My wife likes them stupid wallet phone cases. I cannot stand that.
The wallet phone cases, because, you know, then she doesn't have to carry a wallet.
That's but, it. Yeah. Yeah, that's why she does it. But
she also usually carries a purse if she's planning on carrying more than just her wallet. So
I'm with you, Joe, on the functional pockets. My wife's purse is the size of a duffel bag, and I still end up carrying it in my pocket.
Right.
Truth, man, truth. Like you go, especially if you're going to someplace like the fair or like well, we're going to Pumpkin Show next week. You know, she'll be like, "Can you carry my keys?" And I'm like,
"The keys,
no.
The key ring is huge. I mean,
it's
put your hand in it." I mean.
She's got this little leather. It's designed to be a coin purse, but she'll take her folding money and crumple it up into a little cylinder and stick it in that. I'm like, I cannot stand that. But yeah, give women cargo shorts for crying out loud.
Actually, Jackie used to do was had hers custom ordered. But I built mine, and it was when we had the S3s, I think it was. And the S3s are considerably smaller. We used to make, like, wristbands for them. And hers was, like, a full-on, like, bracer that went halfway up her arm and made out of leather. And it was her Christmas present one year, a birthday present or something. And that was really cool. And then the ones I made... mostly, I'd buy cheap cases and then add some nylon strapping to it so it could be attached to my arm. And that was kind of awesome, but there's no way I could do that with a note and have it be functional in any kind of way just because of how freaking huge it is.
I do got a new toy. I got a class action lawsuit from IKEA, and the reward was $25 Amazon gift card. So I ordered the Emons Gaming Retro Games Console GV300S Mini TV style, and it's getting too long to read. I'll put the link in Mumble.
Waiting on this link, man.
If I can find the share link, but I'll put the wrong ass one.
You order off of Amazon. How much was it, did you say?
It was $27.99.
What's your opinion of it?
I don't have it yet. I just ordered it.
Oh.
But there's what it looks like. It looks like it's wood grain. Looks like it has the original Nintendo keypad style. Or D-pad style.
That's pretty cool looking.
That's what I thought. I said, even if it's not like not great playing games on it, it would still look good sitting in my office.
And you can hook it up to a bigger screen too, yeah.
Yeah.
It comes with that little TV? Or that little display?
Yeah.
3-inch
That's where all the stuff is, man. All the computer that rents it, it's all in that. I hope the controller's not wireless, but
it is.
I mean, is it? Well, I don't know how well that's gonna work then, but
well enough to play these games, probably. I mean,
probably, yeah.
Felt like there's a crap ton of overhead here.
Amber Nick is bringing out a whole bunch of really cool stuff. This is a retro. I just talked about it on the Retro Arcade.
Hey, they're handhelds. Their Game Boy style handhelds are pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, they got a wood grain one that I want.
Now, I've got a couple of different handhelds, none of theirs, but you know, just the emulation style ones, and they're all really fun. It's just, you know, finding time to actually sit down and get to play. I've been trying to speed run Super Mario, like the original one.
Oh yeah. Look up the Retroid Pocket 2S.
Yeah, no, all the Retroid Pocket ones are actually really cool.
I have a question. What does this mean? It says, power options of video games console. Please not. Don't mix extra battery for games console. If not, it will cause a short circuit. What do they mean by that? What does that mean?
Where is that? I see power of
on the E-mods?
300S.
It's down under product description. If you go under the first big graphic, there's three graphics. It says 308 retro
gotcha.
Games and another graphic.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm like, what is it? Don't mix extra battery for game console.
Well, I think what it means is that this thing can run on batteries, but you should not run it on batteries and have it hooked up to power USB power at the same time.
No, that's
actually
okay.
Incorrect. This video game console has built-in rechargeable lithium ion batteries, so that doesn't work.
Don't mix extra battery for game. Poof. That's some Chinese English there.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're talking about, so I don't know if I would ever do it.
Yeah. Well, for $27, what the hell not, you know?
No, I mean, it looks really cool. It does. I mean...
Further, there's a bunch of other ones that are shown.
There are.
I wonder if this is... Oh, sorry, Joe.
They have the one that looks like the Game & Watch.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. And then they have one kind of looks like, a Wii?
No, the one that looks like a Micro Game Boy. Remember the Micro Game Boy? That was really teeny tiny.
That's the Game & Watch.
Right,
and if you're talking about those other two on the right, then yeah, the Game Boy Micro, which started out as a mod of what was it, the
Game Boy Color, maybe?
Was it because it was one of the two screen ones where people removed the top screen. And bridged one of the circuits so that way you could play it just on the lower screen.
I don't know, but I love playing retro games.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know why I like it anyway.
Are these most of them knockoff versions of the game?
Yeah.
I mean, I do see that Super Mario Brothers is on here, but they're saying it has typos and stuff, so I wonder.
There are so many different retro handhelds
that have garbage on it.
Well, that have, just ripped off games on them. That, yeah, pick one. It's probably got the original Super Mario Brothers on it. Like, I have my case to my phone. I have a case to my phone that has, I don't remember, 60 games or something on it. And one of them is the original Super Mario Brothers.
But this reminds me, I was talking about this on my last Living in the Retro Arcade show. And it reminds me, and I know Dave knows what I'm talking about, the GP2X, remember that?
I was trying to think of the name of that just a second ago. I still got mine, but I think the battery's swelling.
What do
you
mean,
Dave
knows?
How much
I had
for
one
that?
Of those too, Joel.
Oh, did you? Okay,
yeah.
I did not know that you had one. So.
You have one?
But
I
knew Dave did.
Have one, Dave?
Yeah.
I used to use that as my MP3 player for a while.
Yeah. And you guys paid a ton of money for that. Now you can get something very similar or better for 99. $5.
You trying to shame us?
No, it's just it was.
Yeah, it was like $100-some.
Thinking about you, Dan. While I was out shopping at the Goodwill, they had one there for $1.
But what?
I thought it just needed a new battery, but yeah, and no, it was fried.
What was it?
Oh, I don't even remember at this point. It was one of the Samsung players or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, was it the?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
It was.
I threw it away because it was really fried.
It was that one that had. It was basically looked like a Galaxy phone, but it was only like the iPod Touch version of that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got it taken apart, and then, you know, I had it hooked up, and then it turned on, but it got stuck boot looping, and then even with, like, a secondary battery hooked up, like I put it in a different battery, it still was stuck in the boot loop. And then I was searching around trying to find where the power problem was, and I let out the magic smoke.
Oops.
Yep.
And do you still have a Sansa clip?
Me?
Yeah.
I have one laying around here, but it doesn't work anymore. Those things are really expensive.
They still sell them?
No. You can
yep.
get
eBay. Yeah.
You can get refurbished ones. You know what the problem is, Dave? Did you want to say something, Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say that the newer, you have to get one of the older ones because the newer ones, the programming sucks ass.
Yeah, one of the big problems is with the newer ones is you can only have 2,000, it has a 2,000 song limit in the database. Like, you could put more than 2,000 songs on it, but when you import the songs in there and it creates the database for them, it only does 2,000.
Yeah, you could put Rockbox on it, couldn't you? I mean, that's what I always did with every MP3 player I had.
On those, yes. I don't know about on the newer ones if you can.
Right.
It's been a while since I tried Rockbox, too.
Well, you see, you got the SanStick, the ClipJam MP3 player with a micro SD slot and AFM radio is $33.
I think I put Rockbox on my wife's Sansa clip once.
Dan's problem with them, Dan kept slamming his in the door.
Yeah.
Oh, I had so many problems.
Easy to get messed up on those.
It bums me out, man. Stop talking about the clip, Mr. Yates. I mean, the one I'm using now works pretty good. What I have found with a lot of the newer ones, like where the clip allowed you to just turn it on and pick right up where you were, like the newer ones, you got to go through like a little menu and to pick up back to where you were. It doesn't just automatically open up into that. And if you bump like the next button, instead of trying to fast forward, or you bump the next or previous button, like it loses your place, whereas the Sansa clip would just, you can go right back to where you were before.
Do you use the MP3 player?
I do, yes.
Wow. Which one do you use?
It's
everybody uses their phone now, but
Dave, do you know why I don't use my phone?
Ma'am?
Huh?
Because you swim? I don't know.
Because I swim. I do swim, but I don't listen to music when I swim. The reason why I don't use my phone is because I use my phone either for tracking my run or whatever it is that I'm doing. Sometimes if I'm doing interval stuff, that has like audible sound cues and stuff like that, and it interrupts whatever I'm listening to.
Okay, yeah. Back when I did run, I had a Garmin watch and I used my phone, but I'd listen to music and I could change the music on my watch and all that.
Maybe I should. Like, I'm getting closer to switching to my phone, but you know, I've been stuck in my workflow of Bash Potter pulling stuff down and transferring it to the MP3. Like, somebody's got to keep Bash Potter alive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great tool. Link did a great job on that. You know,
yep.
Gotta represent. I even tested it on AIX back in the day. Yeah, I used to use Bash Potter. In fact, Dave, I got two Nokia N810s right behind me, and I love them things. Yeah, I don't do anything with them anymore, but you can connect to Wi-Fi, but there's no working web browsers for it anymore.
Those are the silver ones, right? And they had the little fold-out stand.
Yeah, the slide-out keyboard.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah, I used to use that. Like, I remember. Remember when you guys had did Stank Dog do a show when you guys took a break? I can't remember, Dan.
No, remember? it was Trolls and
Trolls, right? And one other guy. I can't remember.
Two other guys.
It happened the week I was in Chicago for a work training thing. Back when I was still at the school.
To answer your question, Dave, it is an iHoumi, iHoumi MP3 player.
Tennies.
Yeah, 32 gig MP3 player that played OGG and other formats. It looks just like the Clip Zip. Pretty much like that. Not. It's like that same kind of form factor. It doesn't look exactly like it, but yeah.
My favorite MP3 player, I think, was the E200 or something like that. It was metal. Yeah, I love that thing.
The Sansa one. I think you're right.
Ah, the good old days.
Yep.
Wait, who made Was that Samsung or Sansa?
I think it's Sansa. I can't remember.
Yeah. Sansa, because it was SanDisk that made them.
Yeah.
Sansa E200 doesn't look like it's metal.
Maybe the wrong model number. I can't remember.
It might be. Well, it might be the back is metal, but the front is like black plastic. It looks like it.
Yeah, have a wheel.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah,
longer than it is wide. Yeah.
Yeah, I had one from Best Buy from their Insignia line, the Pilot. I loved that one until I rolled over. I had it in my pocket. And that had Bluetooth in it, too. And I had it in my pocket. It was early Bluetooth. I had it in my pocket listening something using earbuds plugged into it. And I rolled over and cracked the freaking screen. Ugh.
That was an E200. That's what it was.
Yep.
There's one in the box on eBay for $13.
Now, Link and I had an interesting discussion about Iowa, who was, well, I don't know if they're still owned by our friend Joe Bourne or not, because if you go to their webpage, it's looking like they're taking stuff you can get on AliExpress and branding it Iowa.
Not done. But,
no. I don't know if it's Joe doing that, though. Yeah, like little heaters and stuff that you can buy for cheap on AliExpress.
No, I don't order things from AliExpress.
I don't either.
Joe, did you say it was a Samsung or a Sansa?
Sansa.
Oh, Sansa. Okay, I thought you said Samsung.
Now, there's reasons you might want to use an MP3 player over your phone.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
For example, if you didn't want to get bugged by work or something when you're on a run, that's a good reason.
That's just, first, The first thing you do is you turn on airplane mode, and then you turn back on Bluetooth.
Yes.
And you're fine.
I mean, I have a work phone and a personal phone. And next week, the work phone doesn't leave my office because I'm on vacation. And I'm going to go eat pumpkin stuff down in Circleville. That's the place where I got the dill dog. Remember, Dan?
Yeah.
The dill what?
Dill dog.
Him and his dildo.
Yeah.
So they what they do, Dave, is they take a pickle, all right? Put a hot dog inside the pickle.
And put it in his butt.
And then you make...
And put it in his hole.
Well, no. Take that, everything's on a stick, of course. You know, you take stick with the pickle and the hot dog, and you dip it in the corn dog batter.
Oh, I've heard of those, yeah.
Yeah,
and then
I
they
tried
slap
it
once. Around his cheek and chin for a bit.
Only when you're eating it. I tried it, I'll never try it again. It was okay, it was just too fucking sloppy to eat. It's like,
Do you know what a cool lickle is?
Kool-Aid pickles?
What?
A Kool-Aid pickles? Yeah, I didn't know you
knew. I knew because I watched like
The Wrong Thing.
Yeah, probably, no, you remember that video?
Weird Eats.
There's that Southern podcast or not podcast YouTube channel. The guy I was on it used to do a show called Bless Your Rank.
Oh, him, I love him. He does.
He's on his own now.
He rates the fast food places and stuff.
But he's on his own now, and he did a cool lickle one time.
I guess, how do you make a cool lickle?
I think it's the same way you make a pickle. I mean, instead of pickle it in vinegar, you put it in Kool-Aid. And I guess you store it in there until it absorbs all the Kool-Aid. I don't know.
Until it becomes diabetes.
It sounds disgusting.
Dave, have you tried it, Dave?
I'm not. Sweet and sour together is just a juxtaposition in my mouth. And I don't like that.
The YouTube channel is It's a Southern Thing. But Matt.
Yeah, I like
Matt.
I like
broke out on Matt to his own channel. Matt Mitchell is his channel. And he just did fat ranking fast food breakfast burritos.
Oh yeah, that was good. I like that.
That just came out today, I think.
No, that was a couple weeks ago. I think it was last week actually, because I've already watched.
Oh, I just
we watched that last week.
I just watched it today. Okay, yeah, I didn't see how long ago it just showed up on my YouTube page.
The Burger King one, man. Oh.
If you want some good Southern breakfast, Joel, I highly recommend a bologna egg and cheese sandwich on a hamburger.
You know, I probably have had something like that.
You got to fry the bologna, though.
Yeah.
Now, when you do that, Mr. Yates, do you like a
thick
piece of bologna or a thin piece? Like about a
quarter inch
or more thick, half inch?
But it's only beef bologna in my house because both my daughters have pork allergies.
Yeah. No problem with that.
Really?
I have no problem with that. I don't like the regular. I don't like any bologna but that or Lebanon bologna, which is way better than regular bologna.
I like Lebanon bologna.
So I guess you won't be having any pulled pork or ribs at your place, unless they're beef ribs.
We can have them. They can't. We can have them.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we have EpiPens.
You have.
Yeah, we have EpiPens.
Eat them in front of them.
You just eat the.
Well, how do
you
feel about
a bite,
the cost
then you hit
of EpiPens?
EpiPen, then you feed them a bite.
Right? Yeah, it's crazy.
It's absolutely insane.
$300
a piece.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Really?
Right. Hold on. I got the expert
that's
here.
With insurance,
the
right?
Cost of the cost of an EpiPen.
Do you have insurance or not insurance?
Between $60 and $300.
Between $60 and $300.
Depending on your insurance and
how much is it without insurance?
$627 as of last year.
Yeah, the three we have are all expired, but we're putting a lot of faith in them. They just stay away.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, if you remember, there was a shortage a couple of years ago, like the time COVID started, and they were like, "Oh yeah, yeah, we'll call these good for 6 months past the expiration."
Yeah.
With no problem.
Well, right. Most of them have two shots in it, because that's what you're supposed to have.
Why are they so expensive?
No, yeah, because you have to have them, one, and insurance, two. It's the same thing with, what's that diabetics use? Insulin.
Insulin, yeah.
Insulin.
You have to have it to survive, so... Despite the fact that it's been around for a bajillion years now.
Yeah, same thing with emergency inhalers are the same.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they keep modifying it just a little bit so that nobody can make a generic and running the price up to astronomical amounts.
My wife's on Trulicity. It's also diabetes, but I don't remember. She only does that once a week. So it's not, and so, and I'm trying to think, I want to say I thought that took care of the A1C.
Medication.
Yeah, they just came out with a generic for the ADHD medication that might, for Vyvanse. Is, you know, a big deal for us because that saves us a lot of freaking money.
You know what? My son's on two different dosage levels of that because they don't make a pill big enough for him.
Well, my son is on a single dosage, but he has to take it. It's split between twice a day, so that way it lasts him all day.
Right. I'll remind my wife of that to ask his doctor about the generic version so that we can save a little bit. Because here's the crazy thing with my son's... doctor he goes to for the meds, he will not take insurance at all.
Actually had like my kids had a doctor when they were younger, and it was just plain more cost effective to go to that doctor without insurance than it was to go with insurance.
Right. Well, his reasoning why they won't take insurance, I think he'll take like OSU insurance or something like that, because they don't have, a lot of these insurance companies will say you can only spend X amount of time with your patient, and that's why he doesn't take insurance, because he wants to take his patients to have and their parents to have as much time with him as they need to talk about the situation. So he doesn't want to be forced by the insurance company to keep appointments to a certain length. So, oh yeah, Dave Yates, my son's 24 now.
Yeah, they do that, don't they?
They grow, man.
Yeah, my oldest is 26. I have a 3-month-old grandson.
Damn, your grandfather, Mr. Yates.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Grandpa Dave.
That's what I'm doing in retirement is watching him.
There you go.
But my youngest has got 1 year left in dental hygiene school, then she'll be done.
There you go.
And then she's going to clean your teeth for you?
I reckon.
Luke's going to school right now. He took like a massive break because of COVID. When they started back up initially, they were enforcing masks. You know, and I get it, you know. But with his disability, the mask really, he just couldn't have that thing against his face. He and us, we understood why people were being asked to wear them and all that. But, you know, he just couldn't do it. You know, he would like literally go into breakdowns if you had him forcing to wear a mask. So we weren't doing that. So he stayed home a lot.
Are you an ASD?
Yeah.
Okay. I have, Asperger. Well, they don't call that anymore. They've now moved it strictly over to ASD.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah.
Well, the Asperger's is now considered discriminatory awesome. and like an insult.
Really? Interesting.
Well, because I have two that are dyslexia umbrella, and then I've got one that's an OHI, but she's immune compromised. And for her, they wanted, we're in Texas where no masking was allowed, and they wanted to put her in a school where they don't really, where COVID was not considered a real thing in our area.
Uh-huh.
It was a fake. And she's immune compromised, and her high school has around 8,000 students in it.
Yeah, I get that.
So, when we filed for her due process, the school retroactively unenrolled all of our kids. Instead of
that's why Joe ran for office.
Yeah. And so she got her GED, and she's been at college for two. She'll be done not this December, but next fall semester.
Yeah, my son only takes like one or two classes per term, although Friday I think I'm going to make the jump and apply for my master's degree.
Oh.
I'm going to do master's of science in information management systems with a concentration on cybersecurity.
Well,
and that's mostly because I want to be a manager someday.
Well, for our eldest, she's in community and she only does like part time, and then she does like work because it's a holiday season already started. She does almost full time work.
Luke
and
does DoorDash.
No, Kai works at the Dollar General. And they already got this Christmas stuff at the beginning of September.
Oh, they selling it?
Yeah,
they already got Christmas out all over our area, including Walmart.
Same here. Yeah. They Meijer always started, when I still worked for Meijer, they always started September.
At least, you know, October before they started bringing it out. But no, they're already clearing the Halloween stuff, like clearance items.
Yep. They have our Sam's Club already has like big tall light up snowman and stuff like that.
Lately, I've been afraid the parking lot's been a disaster. I go by for gas, man. They're usually 25 cents cheaper than the other locals.
Yeah, they are. I filled up one day the other day at Sam's. We go to Sam's Club every freaking week.
We go to get the bulk packaging stuff for the teenager that's still in middle school that eats like everything's going out of style.
Uh-huh.
Because I can't beat the price on their granola bars and Monsters and a lot of their packaging for snack items.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, it's almost in some cases better to buy the single packages, the single serve ones, because then you only eat one of them. Well, most of the time.
It's great. And he's on a weight gain diet, but he's supposed to have extra protein.
Oh, there
you go. Man, he usually packs like two sandwiches, a bag of chips, fruit, a bagel, a couple of granola bars, full water bottle, and then two eggs, and that's his lunch. And then he comes home ready to eat again.
Dang.
And that's with him eating an oatmeal with yogurt and protein powder in the morning before he even gets out the door.
Now, tomorrow usually is the day I usually would wuss out going to the gym in the morning, but I think I'm going to do that because I joined a small group at my church, Dave, that is focused on fitness. So I've been doing that every week that I was in town. I was out of town a couple weeks ago for work. But we do Tabata.
I know what that is.
And let me tell. What did you say, Dave?
I know what that is.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah, it kicks my ass.
Yeah, I bet so.
We did we did sit-ups for one of the Tabatas. We did sit-ups and what was something else, but I'm telling you, man, that about killed my abdomen. But we do that, and we do push-ups, which I do modify because I'm old, and my knees friggin' hurt. But between that and all the others, like in the last 90 days, I've lost right about 20 pounds. So,
I'm in a small group at my church, me and my wife and three other couples, and I hope nobody starts talking about fitness.
I occasionally do one of the other ones, but this year when they started them back up again, the men's group, we're doing the book I already did, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that book again. But
you'll do sit-ups instead. Not.
Yeah, well, you know,
go ahead.
The VA still likes what?
Still likes to tell me that I'm overweight. I like to tell them to go to hell.
You're not you overweight? Yeah. That's what happens when they use BMI as the only measure of you being overweight.
Exactly. Exactly. So. I am 20% body fat, so below 25%, that's all I really need to be. Yeah. Well, body fat percentage actually does matter, but you know, I'm 5'11". I am 222 pounds, but at 8% body fat, that means that I'm enough muscle, and all of my blood work comes out great. I have slightly low HDL. My LDL is perfect. My liver function's perfect. Kidney function, pancreas, all of it. It's great. I'm fat.
Yeah, it's messed up. That's definitely messed up. But
they want me to weigh 180 pounds, and that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm just came back. Ever since I came, I went to the kidney doctor because they had excess protein being sloughed off in my urine. It was just outside the normal, but my kidney function's good. So he put me on another blood pressure med, and since then my blood pressure has been pretty in control. I have my moments, you know, like if I got stupid and ate a bunch of salt the night before, in the morning my BP is usually elevated, but not high, just elevated. Right now, on all the medications I'm on, most days I'm normal. So
the one thing you can say is that my blood pressure borderlines on low. But
well, that's a lucky thing there.
Problem is probably going well. No, even low blood sugar will mess you up pretty bad if it gets too.
Oh
low.
Yeah, true. Right.
But I did recently start on TRT, so that should help my blood. That should help my blood pressure come up a bit.
There you go. But other than that, you know, and the same thing with my blood sugar, it's usually pretty well controlled. I'm only on one dose of metformin right now anyway. But I'm hoping to get off all that mess. So we'll see.
But you just have to learn to eat better.
Yeah, true.
No more dildos. I mean dildos.
Dildos.
There we go.
Speaking you know what? I'm not going to eat a dildog. Yeah, I'm not going to eat one of those.
Up.
Yeah, it's quarter after 10 already. Yeah.
Dave's going to die. He's got to get up and take care of his grandchild tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow.
Wow.
There you go.
Lazy bastard.
Dave can sleep in.
You're going to sit there and play with Apra. What is that called again?
Expra. That's how I pronounce
it. Expra. There we go.
Expra.
All right. We got to wrap this up. Thank you, everybody. It's been a great show. We'll see everybody in a week. Happy Friday the 13th. Yeah, so here you are, your promos. Eat this.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, where did everybody go?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah, look at that. They're all there, huh? Everybody's there. Oh, baby.
I don't know if I'm going to the pumpkin show Wednesday during the day or not next week. All I know is I'm not working.
What show?
Circleville Pumpkin Show, the greatest free show on earth.
Oh.
Well, that's what they call it.
Well, all right, say goodnight, Joel. I'm going to turn off. Stop.
Goodnight, Joel.
Get you the fuck out of here. Who the hell is this?
I know.
Get out of here.
Mr. Dave Yates,
who
man.
Who invited you here?
I myself.
He's always invited.
It's about damn time. Good to see you, man.
Good to hear you.
Yeah. Because you're coming in here calling yourself Tilt.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do that. Because I put in DS Yates and it wouldn't let me. The certificate was bad. I changed it to Tilt, so let me in.
Oh, goodness.
Wait, couldn't you just accept the certificate?
I did.
It wouldn't let you in even with your name?
Uh-uh.
Delwyn must hate you.
Did you have a space in it?
No.
Huh.
That's crazy, man.
Oh. I'm going.
I'm on going. Some sort of, well, I got 2410 on it right now, whatever the latest one that still hasn't fully launched yet. I think it's, got a couple weeks yet.
Is this on your Surface you're talking about?
No. No, this is on my yoga book still. I don't need to cannibalize the Surface just yet. This is working just fine. Actually, what I may do is my primary laptop has an extra M2 slot, and I may order another M2 drive and put Linux on that, then dual boot it if I have to. I gotta keep my Creative Cloud on there until Adobe ever decides that if they want to do it or not. They probably never will, but I just use that from church too much, so. And I not found anything. I tried Darktable. It just doesn't do all the things I needed to do.
So then what did you do?
I've been paying for Creative Cloud for a while.
What's the ultimate end?
So you got her pregnant, huh?
Oh,
no.
Now I see. Sex.
Not anymore.
That's the way it always ends up.
It's a chilly night here at our house because it's
It's colder. You made chili.
Of course.
Wait, which one?
Both.
Okay.
Well, here's the bad thing. Like first, I guess it was. It only ended up being in like maybe the low 40s over the weekend. But Saturday, I go turn on the heat. It will not come on, and I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, the furnace is not quite 3 years old yet, so I called the company. I tell you what, it's a huge difference in the company I called for helping with my washer, because Joel don't fix no washer.
Yeah, I know. I got into a discussion today with one of my colleagues who was like, his office is in his room with his washer and dryer, and I was like, man, you got a big room there. He's like, yeah, I'd like to get a stackable. And I said, you ever have a stackable? And he said, he had one in an apartment. And I said, well, what happened when you left? He said he left it there because it was your apartment. I'm like, man, moving those things and working on them both of those things are a nightmare.
Yep.
Oh, actually, I will never get a stackable again. Too much.
I'm gonna plan on my next one being have you seen the ones they got now with that do both the wash the drying in one unit?
Yeah, but they're not highly. I don't know. I don't trust that. It just seems like a recipe.
I'm
for
not
disaster.
Talking about the European ones.
Well, I mean,
the GE has one. GE has one. And how it ends up working is, it's basically a dehumidifier. All right, so that's what takes the water out of the clothes. And you don't have to have a vent. It just pumps the water that are in the clothes into the drain hose. So I thought was to get two of them.
Once your newfangled washer and dryer break, I recommend a Speed Queen, and they're no electronics. It's everything's commercial grade. They last about 30 years.
Yeah, and each unit it's about $2,000.
Yeah, you pay as much as you do for the newfangled all electronic ones, but they don't break.
Dave, come on.
Yeah,
we all know you're going down to the creek with a washboard and a rock, right?
But the question is,
not yet.
And I'm sure I know the answer here is, do you still have the Honda Civic?
No, my oldest daughter left that years ago.
Oh, I figured. That's what I thought. Well, so yeah, I think you told us that like a couple years ago at the Southeast Linux Fest when you spoke.
Yeah, I've got a 13-year-old Prius, 1998 Nissan Frontier pickup truck. I'm waiting for things to calm down if they ever do before I buy new again. But
yeah, that's probably not going to happen. By the time it does, you'll be buying a lead.
I hope not.
All right. What happened to Joe?
Goodness.
I don't see anything on here that he doesn't. Well, we'll see if he shows up. All right, we're ready to kick this pig off. I'm sorry I was a few minutes late. I got some questions for you, Joel.
Well, hopefully it's working now.
Wait, did you just disappear?
My Wi-Fi cut completely off. It disconnected.
All right. Well, I do have some questions for you, Joel. And I'm sure we'll have questions for you, Tilts.
I got to figure out how to change that.
Yeah. Actually, I already pre-ordered the Raspberry Pi 5. Dave and I were talking about it when you joined in there.
When I dropped in there and I saw that, I'm like, that's got to be you, man. I knew it had to be you. I was like,
first time I fired up Mumble in years, probably.
I'm like, who else is gonna be in there under that name? Like something.
Tilt.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Did you see Link's email from about Bluehost, man?
Yeah, so I already took care of it. I already transferred the files down.
I thought you did.
I have to double check, but I think they're already all up on archive.org. I think I did.
Did you change the feed though?
I have not yet. I got to go through and do that.
Okay.
I'm lazy.
Yeah, probably
man.
Change the feed.
Low hanging fruit. Low hanging fruit.
So I didn't read it completely, mostly because I'm not involved. But so are they wanting more money if we don't reduce our storage?
Well, no, I think what is happening is that before it was unlimited, right? And I kind of like have the same thing through HostGator. And so that if you recall, like about 2 years ago, I said I got an email from HostGator saying, you have too much, you're taking up too much storage. You got to cut that shit out, right? And then I got an email back after I talked about it on the show from people that worked at HostGator, like, don't worry about it. We love the show. Leave it. Don't worry about it, right? I think that's what's happening here. And we're not actually, like, so let me make sure I have this right. It's episodes 110 through 377, I believe, that are up there on Bluehost. And yeah, so that's what it is, essentially. Just that amount. And it's always been like that for, gosh, since episode 377, all those files have been there.
Right.
And it's taking
up. Yeah, even on the pro plan there, they want 100. They only give you 100. Well, it says SSD web storage is 100 gigabytes.
Really?
Really? That's what it says.
Because we're only using 22 gigabytes.
Okay.
So
I don't know what plan Link has, whether he has Choice Plus or right.
Well, regardless, it's we're getting they're off, and they're all on. Oh shit! I'll double check on archive.org. So yeah, I was just looking at this earlier. I believe episodes 1 through. Oh, I hate archive.org. Hey Joe, what's up?
Hear you, Joe. Yeah, I think I need to order. I want to order the fan and the case probably too. Mostly because they don't have a. There's not a large selection of Pi 5 cases just yet. And they changed the side to the Ethernet's on too, Dave.
5?
Yeah, it's on a different side now.
Oh, they said size. You said size.
Side, yeah. No. Yeah, oh, and I'd really like to get the M.2 board. They got a hat for it to put an M.2 drive in it. I'll probably, if I go to order the rest of that stuff this weekend, I'll probably do it on SparkFun.
Yeah, so episodes, gosh, 1, I think 1 through...
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Joe? Can you hear
us? We hear
hey,
you,
what's
man.
What's going on? All right, I can hear you now.
Yeah, just so you know,
we have
Tilts on the show tonight.
Our special guest,
Tilt.
D.S. Yates, a.k.a. Tilts.
All right. Let's start the show so we can get in it. We can talk more about this later. Joe doesn't have time to screw around. He's here for the business end of this thing. Yeah. All right. So, are you ready, Joe?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
yes.
you. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Are you ready, Tilts?
Yeah.
All right, a lot of tilts on here tonight. A lot of tits.